Okay, he forced a smile. Sure. Great. Relief flooded her expression. Oh, and I'll pay you the rest of your money tomorrow. Do you want cash, or would you prefer I wired it to you? It's been so crazy at work that I didn't get a chance to withdraw.
What money?
The $7,500 for the remainder of your contract. Tension crawled its way down his spine and lodged itself in the pit of his stomach.
I didn't see the contract through. There's no reason to pay me the rest of the money.
Technically, no, Chris allowed. But it's not your fault my dad showed up all of a sudden. Plus, you put in the time and effort, and you're pretending to be my boyfriend at the dinner. You deserve it.
A muscle ticked in Nate's jaw. You don't have to pay me $7,500 to attend a dinner party.
Chris looked taken aback by his harsh tone. Why are you being so stubborn about this? She threw her hands in the air. It's just money. Take it. $7,500 is not a lot to me, but it... She stopped. Something dangerous pulsed behind Nate's temple.
But it is to me. Is that what you were going to say?
His voice was quiet. Deadly. Chris looked away. I'm trying to help. I know things have been difficult with your dad, and Skylar's senior year is coming up. She's going to have homecoming, prom, college application fees. It's expensive. Twin tornadoes of fury and humiliation blazed through Nate's chest.
It's my family. My dad. My sister. We don't need your handouts. We're not some charity case that you can throw money at to make yourself feel better.
His family may not be perfect, and he and his dad still weren't speaking after their blow-up. Well, after Nate's blow-up in the kitchen last week. But they were still his family, and he wouldn't have anyone looking down on them. That's not it, Chris said hotly. I don't think you're a charity case.
Then stop treating me like one.
The wind rustled in consternation. Nate suddenly realized how quiet it was. Too quiet. A glance around confirmed that the other hikers in the vicinity had stopped what they were doing to watch his and Chris's drama unfold with wide eyes. He was pretty sure one of them was the star of the latest hit Netflix show. The humiliation deepened.
I'm going back to the car.
Nate stood, forcing himself to unclench his fists.
Huh.
He hadn't realized he'd clenched them.
I'll wait 10 minutes. If I don't see you, I'll assume you're walking home.
It was an asshole thing to say. But Nate didn't feel particularly gentlemanly as he stormed off. Unlike during the hike up, he didn't slow his stride to keep pace with Chris. By the time he made it to his car, a portion of his anger had burned away. But the humiliation remained. It tasted sharp and bitter in his throat. Nate was a lot of things, but he was no charity case. His family may not have much money, but the money they did have, they'd earned. He refused to live off other people's pity. He ran a hand through his hair and glared at his phone. He'd been sitting here for 7 minutes. 3 more minutes and he was out of here. Chris could find her own damn way home. Another minute passed. Then another. And another. Nate turned on the engine and glanced down the road. Runyon Canyon didn't have a parking lot, so he'd parked on a street by the main entrance. Other than a woman walking her dog, there was no one else in sight.
Where is she? I'm leaving, Nate said, like Chris could somehow hear him.
Nothing.
5 more minutes, then I'm leaving.
He sounded like a crazy person talking to himself in his car. It shouldn't take Chris that long to get to the car. Was she lost? Hurt? His heart banged against his chest at the thought. After a vicious inner war, Nate composed a quick text to make sure she was okay. He was still pissed at her, but he wasn't a monster. He refused to have her death on his conscience.
That's the only reason I haven't left yet, he assured himself.
In an uncanny coincidence, his phone pinged with a message from Chris right before he hit send. Chris, You've probably left by now, but just FYI, I ran into a friend and he's driving me home.
What the fuck?
Nate stared at Chris's text in disbelief. His earlier anger rushed back, 100 times fiercer than before. Was she messing with him? What were the odds of her running into a friend in the past hour? Who is this he she was talking about? His molars ground together.
Nate. Fine.
That was the only reply he could muster without blowing up. Nate maneuvered out of his parking spot and gunned it toward his house, furious for reasons beyond his comprehension. This was turning out to be the shittiest day ever.
Nate's temper didn't improve when he arrived home to a barrage of questions from Skylar.
How was your hike with Chris?
She chirped from her position on the couch where she was watching old Tom and Jerry cartoons over a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Fine. That seemed to be the only word he was capable of since he'd left Chris sitting at the top of a hill. Guilt wormed its way into his stomach, but he grabbed it by its neck and shoved the fucker aside. He didn't have time for guilt. He was too busy being mad. At Chris, at the asshole who supposedly drove her home, at himself. Nate exhaled a long sigh at Skylar's raised eyebrows. You shouldn't eat cereal for lunch, he said in a gentler tone. There's leftover lasagna in the fridge.
I ate that for breakfast.
Skylar grinned at her brother's exasperated expression.
Come on! No one ever died from eating lasagna in the morning and cereal in the afternoon.
No, but you'll be the death of me, Nate muttered. He sank into the armchair next to the couch.
So cranky. I thought you'd be flying high after your date with Chris.
It wasn't a date.
Maybe it didn't go as well as you'd hoped?
Skylar ignored his denial and examined him with shrewd eyes.
What did you do?
Why do you assume I did something?
Did you?
No. Yes. You still haven't told me how you and Chris know each other. It was an obvious ploy to change the topic, and it worked. Skylar became fascinated by the few remaining pieces of soggy cereal floating in her bowl.
I told you. We met at the movies.
I don't know which is more insulting. You not coming up with a more believable story, or you thinking I'm stupid enough to fall for your excuse. No one talks to strangers at the movies. Nate's eyes narrowed. You didn't meet her at a nightclub, did you? Because if you have a fake ID...
No!
Skylar wrinkled her nose.
I don't like clubs.
How would you know unless you've been to one? She shot him a dark look.
Leave me alone and take a shower. You stink.
Nate didn't budge. Where do girls meet random new friends? He frowned, his mind flipping through the possibilities. Beach? Mall? But if so, you wouldn't be so reluctant to...
I met her at Meant Her, okay?
His frown deepened. Is that a store? If so, it had a stupid name.
No.
Skylar avoided his gaze and swirled her spoon in the milk.
It's an organization. For girls.
What kind of organization? Suspicion seeped into his voice. She mumbled something under her breath. I'm sure your cereal finds your answer fascinating, Nate said dryly. But if you want a two-way conversation, you'll have to speak up. Skylar heaved a sigh and sounded annoyed, guilty, and exasperated all at the same time.
It's an organization for girls who lost their mothers.
Nate greeted the revelation with a blank stare.
Every girl is assigned a mentor, Skylar rushed. An older female who can help her with, like, girl stuff. And they have events and activities and things like movie outings and arts and crafts day. I found out about it through one of the girls at soccer camp. I only joined in June, around the same time Chris started volunteering there, and they haven't matched me with a mentor yet, which is fine because Chris has been acting as my de facto mentor, and she's great and I...
Wait, stop. Nate held up one hand and pinched his temple with the other. You and Chris met through a non-profit? For girls. Who've lost their moms.
Yes?
Skylar said meekly.
That's the secret you've been keeping from me? He was incredulous. Why? I didn't want you to be mad or, like, feel bad. Skylar gave up on her cereal and set the bowl on the coffee table, her brow pinched with guilt. You've done so much since, well, you know, since Mom died. Taking care of Dad and me and everything. I didn't want you to feel like you weren't enough. But sometimes... She picked at her shorts. I don't know. I want another female to talk to.
Nate's heart squeezed. You don't have to feel guilty about that.
I know I'm not... He waved his hand in the air.
I know there are certain things you wouldn't feel comfortable talking to your brother about. Skylar nodded.
Like the great tampon fiasco?
Jesus, Sky. We promised we would never bring that up again. Skylar had gotten her period for the first time 3 months after their mom died. Their dad had already been deep in the bottle by that point, so Nate had run out to buy her tampons. That had gone well enough. The humiliating part came after when he'd tried to explain to his then 12-year-old sister how to use said tampons. Nate had no clue how those things worked. He'd Googled it and ended up delivering a stilted presentation that involved cranberry juice, flower analogies, and one traumatized tampon before a horrified Skylar cut him off and said she already knew how to use one. She'd taken sex ed, thank you very much. The presentation remained one of the most cringe-inducing experiences of Nate's life, second to his, nutty visit to the ER.
Sorry.
Skylar giggled before the wariness returned to her eyes.
You're not upset?
Of course not. You can come to me about anything if you want to, but I'm not equipped to handle all the inner workings of the teenage female psyche. In truth, Nate was relieved that Skylar had someone else to talk to. He tried his best, but some things were meant for female ears only. But if there's anything big going on, any reason you joined this organization now, let me know. You don't have to tell me the details, but we're family and we've got each other's backs, right? Skylar's lower lip trembled. She nodded once before she flew across the space between them and tackled Nate in a blur. He grunted at the sudden impact. Oof. Nevertheless, he hugged her back. A mess of emotion clogging his throat. The last time they'd hugged like this had been on the one-year anniversary of their mom's death, and that had been a sad, we-have-to-hold-each-other-up-or-we'll-fall-apart hug. This was a decidedly happier embrace.
There's nothing out of the ordinary. I joined now because I didn't even know Mint Her existed before. Promise.
After a minute, Skylar seemed to realize she was a teenage girl and it was uncool of her to hug her brother. She unwrapped herself and wrinkled her nose.
You're all gross and sweaty. Like I said, you need a shower, stinky.
She squealed when Nate grabbed her in a playful headlock and tried to make her smell his armpits. Who are you calling stinky?
Ew, stop!
She scream-laughed.
My nose!
They tussled for a few minutes before they called a truce. By then, they were both winded, and Nate's sides hurt from laughing. Man, that felt good after a craptastic morning.
You're a good brother, Skylar said. Even if you sweat like a pig.
He bumped her shin with the toe of his shoe. 17-year-olds, queens of the backhanded compliments.
Don't you forget it,
she sassed before switching topics.
So, you didn't answer my question earlier. What did you do to Chris?
Nate's smile faded when he remembered how he'd left Chris in Runyon Canyon. Sort of. He'd technically waited for her, and she'd left with some other guy, unless she'd been lying. But she had no reason to lie. Guilt and jealousy churned in his stomach. I was an asshole to her, he admitted.
Language!
Skylar giggled when Nate bopped her with a throw pillow for turning his own words against him.
Apologize. She said. Chris is great. I wish she could be my official mentor, but she's too young. The Mint Her staff is only letting it slide for now because they've been so busy and there's a shortage of volunteers.
Skylar sighed.
She's taught me how to do a smoky eye and give me boy advice.
Nate flinched. You're dating? That was one area of Skylar's life he didn't want to dwell on. Just thinking about her prom night gave him an ulcer, especially when he remembered how he'd spent his own prom night, in a hotel room with the head cheerleader doing things that would make a porn star blush. He'd been a teenage boy himself not too long ago, and he knew exactly what went through teenage boys' minds.
Not yet, Skylar grinned. Don't worry, Chris gives great advice.
Oh yeah? Nate narrowed his eyes. Like what?
Apologize to her and maybe she'll give you the advice herself.
Skylar's grin widened at his sour expression. Way to take sides, he muttered, even though he knew she was right. He owed Chris an apology. And soon.
Chapter 15. Thanks for coming with me tonight, Chris smoothed a hand over her skirt. And for driving me home earlier.
Anytime, Teague said easily. It was good catching up, and the band wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't. It was actually good. The revelation had surprised and relieved Chris, who'd attended Blue Hair, aka Elijah's band practice, out of desperation. She'd promised Susan she would find musical performers for Mentor's summer gala, and the task had proven more difficult than she'd anticipated. Given the event's entertainment budget, as in, there was none, she'd had to scour L.A. for decent singers who would be up for a gig that offered zero money or exposure to music bigwigs. Needless to say, the search was a freaking trial. And Susan refused to let Chris pay for a performer out of pocket, not even if she billed it as a donation. Something about ethics and legal complications. Chris remembered she'd gotten Blue Hair's number as a backup when she found out he played in a band, and lo and behold, the Prophecy Kings, medieval name withstanding, were decent. They did both cover and original songs, and they were up for a free gig. That last point made them the best damn band on the West Coast, in Chris's opinion. I'd invite you in, but I don't want my dad to get the wrong idea. Chris rolled her eyes. He's in love with you. Teague grinned.
Nah, he's in love with the family business. You know my dad created the animations for your dad's first video games.
Maybe. Teague's family, the Collinses, owned one of the largest animation studios in the country. They'd started out doing small-time stuff for little-known games and videos, but were now one of the go-tos for visual effects in Hollywood. Chris and Teague saw each other every Christmas in St. Bart's. Well, except for this past Christmas when Gloria had convinced Roger to go to Aspen instead. Teague was a good-looking guy. Blonde hair, hazel eyes, lean muscles. And Chris had made out with him once a few years ago after too many Mai Tais. It had been a one-time thing. He was too clean-cut for Chris, and Chris was too barb-tongued for him. Teague liked the sweet, bubbly type. Plus, Chris didn't do long-distance relationships. Emotional taxation with no physical satisfaction? No thanks. That didn't stop her dad from dreaming about an alliance between the Carreras and the Collinses, though. Everything was a business transaction to him. Even his daughter's love life.
Call me if you want to hang out or need another mountaintop rescue, Teague said. I'll be here for the summer.
Chris snorted. You drove me home from Runyon Canyon. You didn't rescue me from Mount Everest. Her stomach twisted when she remembered her argument with Nate earlier. She'd been debating whether to let him drive her home or call an Uber when she'd run into Teague on her way down. It had been a random, shocking coincidence. She knew Teague lived in the city, but he always spent his summers surfing in the South Pacific. She hadn't thought to hit him up because she hadn't expected him to be in town. Turned out, he'd delayed his surfing adventures to help his dad out on a project for a big upcoming movie. It had been good to see him, especially since she'd been smarting from Nate's accusations. And she'd invited Teague to the Prophecy King's band practice at the last minute. Watching a local band play in a garage by herself would have been just sad. Teague clutched his chest.
I'm hurt.
Please, your ego's like Teflon.
True. I also know that tone. You're seconds away from throwing me out of my own car, so before I can suffer the indignity, I'll take my cue.
Teague kissed her on the cheek.
See you later.
See ya. Chris got out of the car and waved as she watched the lights of Teague's Tesla disappear down her driveway. Once they were out of sight, she walked toward the front door and dug for her keys. The one downside of large purses was that it took forever to find small items. Her fingers had just closed around the metal when a voice growled from the dark.
Who the hell was that?
She screamed and instinctively raised her bag over her head, brandishing it as a weapon. The Gucci tote contained her hair products, wallet, makeup, and a change of shoes. More than heavy enough to inflict serious damage.
Whoa.
The owner of the voice stepped out of the shadows and held up his hands.
Put that thing away before you hurt somebody.
That's the plan. Chris's breathing slowed enough for her to note the familiar mess of sun-kissed brown hair, green eyes, and tanned skin. Nate, what the hell are you doing here? How did you get in?
The guard recognized me and let me in.
His expression turned sheepish.
I came to apologize for being a dick earlier today and leaving you at the top of a hill.
Chris lowered her bag, her heart rate slowly returning to normal. You were a dick, but you didn't leave me. I left you. I caught a ride with a friend, and Jesus, don't scare a girl like that outside her own house. You're lucky I didn't have pepper spray on me. Note to self, buy pepper spray.
Friend,
Nate echoed, scowling.
Same guy who kissed you just now?
Chris brushed past him on her way to the door. As a matter of fact, yes.
Only douches drive Teslas.
She didn't dignify that with a response. Chris unlocked the door and glanced over her shoulder. Are you coming in or not? She should have been pissed that Nate blew up at her and stormed off that morning. But it was exhausting fighting battles on multiple fronts. She already had her hands full with the glorious situation, and Nate was the only person she could talk to about it. Plus, she had to admit she hadn't phrased her words in the most tactful manner at Runyon. Nate had his pride. And yeah, she kind of did make it sound like she viewed him as a charity case. Nate glanced inside.
Is her dad here?
No. He and Gloria are having a date night. They won't be back till late. Chris almost gagged on the words. Nate's shoulders relaxed. Reassured, he followed her through the mansion's cavernous rooms until they reached the kitchen. She didn't trust herself enough to bring Nate up to her bedroom.
Who's the guy?
Nate propped his forearms on the marble-tiled island. His tanned, muscular biceps strained against the soft confines of his green t-shirt, and his brows were still set in a deep frown, emphasizing his dark stare and the hard set of his perfect mouth. Even angry, he was so mouth-wateringly sexy, Chris wanted to lick him from head to toe. Hell, maybe she was so turned on right now because he was angry. She wanted someone who wouldn't be cowed by her, and the guys she'd been involved with in the past had all been different shades of gentle, polite, and boring as fuck. That was what she got for dating within the confines of the well-bred upper class like her dad wanted her to. He's an old friend.
Looked like more than a friend.
Nate's grumpiness intensified. He swept his eyes over her dress.
Were you on a date?
Did you come to apologize or grill me about Teague? Chris pulled a carton of Ben and Jerry's fish food from the fridge and a spoon from the drawer. Nate's lip curled.
Teague. Even his name is douchey.
She glared at him and he blew out a sigh. There was a long pause before he spoke again.
Okay, you're right. I came to apologize. I shouldn't have blown up at you like that. I just don't do well with pity.
Nate's throat flexed with a hard swallow.
That's all anyone sees when they look at Sky and me. The kids with a dead mom and alcoholic father. Me, the college dropout who has to wait tables to keep the roof over our head. Sky, the smart, talented athlete who might get stuck in the same dead-end life as me because we can't afford college. In the first year, people tried to give us clothes and make us dinner or whatever. And I know they meant well, but it was too fucking much. Even now, when we run into someone we know, they give us these sad, poor you eyes, and I want to scream. He shook his head. We lost so much. We can't lose our pride, too.
Chris's heart ached for the beautiful, strong, resilient man standing in front of her. The one who carried the weight of the world on his shoulders, even though he hadn't asked for or prepared for the job. "I'm sorry if I made you feel like a charity case," she said. She couldn't remember the last time she apologized, and the words tasted unfamiliar on her lips. "I don't think you're a charity case at all. I know you can take care of your family. You've been doing it for years. And judging by how Skylar turned out, you did a great job. I just wanted to help. And the only way I knew how was to give you money." She chewed on her bottom lip. "That's my dad's solution to everything, and I picked it up from him. I get why you're upset, I really do." Nate's face softened, and somehow that made Chris's chest hurt more. He rounded the corner and pulled her into his arms, shocking her. But she quickly got over her surprise and buried her face in his chest. His t-shirt was soft against her skin, and he smelled like coffee and warm, sensual masculinity.
"Thank you," he whispered. "I knew you had good intentions. I was just being an insecure ass."
"And I was being a presumptuous ass," she admitted. She pulled back and examined Nate's face. His eyes shone with sincerity and a deeper emotion she couldn't pinpoint. "Now that we both agree we were in the wrong, let's put the argument behind us."
"Good idea." A small grin teased his lips. "Does this mean we can kiss and make up now?"
She swatted his arm while he laughed. "Seriously?"
"It was worth a shot," Nate shrugged before he grew serious again. "But that guy earlier, was he your date?"
"Sort of," she hedged. He shot her a dark look.
"What do you mean, sort of?"
"It was a non-date date. It wasn't romantic or anything." This time, Chris was the one who shrugged. "I ran into him in Runyon Canyon and invited him to this music thing because I didn't want to go alone."
"I would have gone with you."
Hello, we weren't speaking to each other."
"I still would have gone with you. Tesla Teague could have stayed the fuck home, and hopefully home is far, far away."
"He lives 15 minutes away," Chris informed him, suppressing a laugh. "It's cute that you're jealous, but we're not dating. You don't have a say in who I see. You don't have a say even if we were dating. I do what I want."
Nate's eye twitched. "If we were dating, no other man would dare touch you."
Okay, the possessiveness was strangely hot, but they were going around in circles. "But we're not."
"We should."
Everything went silent except for the quiet hum of the refrigerator in the background. Condensation dripped onto Chris's hand, and she realized she was still holding her pint of ice cream. Fish food had probably become fish puddle by now. "You can't be serious," she said, a swarm of butterflies taking nervous flight in her stomach.
"I am serious," Nate leaned against the counter. "Everyone thinks we're dating already."
"Not everyone. Only my dad and Gloria." Chris wrinkled her nose. "If this is your romantic idea of how to ask a girl to be your girlfriend, you need more help than I thought."
"You're right. I'm sorry," Nate said solemnly. "How about this instead?"
Before she knew it, her ice cream was on the counter. Nate had pushed her up against the fridge door, and he was kissing her in a way that made her toes curl and stomach clench. He tasted like mint and coffee, and every hard ridge of his body molded against hers like they were made for each other. Two pieces in a puzzle. She didn't know how long the kiss lasted. A minute? An hour? A century? All she knew was that it ended too soon. Nate drew his head back and smiled down at her with smug male satisfaction.
"How about that? Chris Carrera, will you be my girlfriend?"
That's not fair. Chris resisted the urge to yank his mouth back to hers. You cheated.
Never said I wouldn't. I'm a complete scoundrel.
She fought back a laugh. We said we wouldn't put a label on things.
We can change our minds.
Nate searched her face for the answer to a question she didn't know.
Look, I know we haven't known each other for that long, but I know you have a good heart, and it's made better by the fact you don't flaunt it. You're beautiful and smart and funny. We have fantastic sex, and, he paused dramatically, you have great taste in clothes.
Oh, he was good. You're correct. I am all of those things. And I do have excellent taste, Chris affirmed. She was wearing next season's Valentino, wasn't she? But FYI, tell anyone about the good heart part, and the fantastic sex part goes away. The acceptable explanation is that I have split personalities. Sometimes the good twin sneaks out, and I have to lock her in a room again. A laugh broke out of Nate's throat.
Got it.
Good. Chris listened to the hum of the fridge, wondering if she was doing the right thing or setting herself up for heartbreak down the road. Not that it mattered. She couldn't walk away from Nate now if she tried. So, we're doing this, huh?
Yeah.
The smile lingered in Nate's eyes as he curled a palm around her cheek.
I'm game if you are.
How would it work? We date until I leave for Seattle? The thought of not seeing him again sent a sharp jolt of pain through her chest. Full disclosure, I don't do long-distance relationships. They never work.
I agree. Neither do I. But let's cross that bridge when we get there.
Nate stepped closer, his scent filling her senses as he caressed her cheek.
For now, let's enjoy the time we do have together.
Yep, she was definitely setting herself up for heartbreak down the road. Okay, Chris said softly. His smile could have lit up all of Los Angeles.
So, now that we're officially dating,
he lowered his head.
I have a few ideas for how we could spend our first night as boyfriend and girlfriend.
Chapter 16. Skylar couldn't have been more excited about Chris and Nate's relationship than if she'd gotten into Stanford and met Shawn Mendes on the same day. When Nate broke the news, Skylar contained herself for all of 30 seconds before she blurted,
"I told you you guys would be perfect together,"
and demanded bridesmaid privileges at their wedding. She'd then rushed off and returned an hour later with a list of romantic date ideas because she would not let Nate mess this up. The entire ordeal had been disconcerting. Nate supposed his sister had been right about him and Chris up to this point, but they weren't getting married. For one, he doubted Chris's father would approve. For two, they'd both agreed they wouldn't do the long-distance thing. He'd seen the toll such relationships took on other couples. The missed calls and texts, the frustration over not being able to see the other person when you wanted, the resentment over being tied to someone thousands of miles away. That was only the beginning. After that came jealousy, suspicion, irrational fights, and finally, a resigned, inevitable breakup. Days and weeks and hours wasted clinging on to something that never had a chance. Nate didn't want that to be them. He'd rather they end things at the height of their heat and passion, untainted by broken promises and faded dreams, even if the thought of not seeing Chris again twisted his insides into suffocating knots.
You okay?
She peered at him beneath thick, dark lashes.
You have a weird look on your face.
Yeah. Nate stroked her shoulder, savoring the soft warmth of her skin. I was just thinking about the shoot. Screw it. If they were on borrowed time, he would enjoy every second while it lasted. So far, dating Chris had been a blast. They bantered and bickered like normal, only now there were a lot more makeout sessions and date nights involved. They both drew the line at hand-holding, though. Too juvenile and cheesy, they'd agreed. Plus, Plus, Nate hadn't entirely been lying when he said he'd been thinking about the shoot. His appearance in Six Doors Down, the Oscar Bravo thriller, had him on edge. Shooting started soon, and while the role wasn't Tom Cruise in Risky Business or Brad Pitt in Thelma and Louise big, Nate only had a few lines. He could parlay it into something much bigger down the line if he played his cards right.
"You'll blow Oscar's socks off."
Chris snuggled deeper into his side.
"You're hotter than him anyway."
Nate chuckled. "Thanks, but that's not exactly a bonus." Oscar was mega-talented, but he was also notoriously vain and competitive. He couldn't stand being upstaged.
"Hey guys, sorry I'm late."
What had to be Tesla Teague loped toward them, looking particularly douchey in a pale blue polo shirt and khakis.
"Traffic."
"No problem," Chris said. "Nate, this is Teague. Teague, this is Nate."
"Her boyfriend," Nate couldn't resist adding, baring his teeth in a semblance of a smile. Teague looked amused, but at least he was smart enough not to offer his hand for a shake. Nate would have been liable to bite it off.
"Nice to meet you, and hey, congrats."
The blonde's eyes sparkled.
"Not every guy has what it takes to date Chris Carrera."
"I'm taking that as a compliment," Chris said.
"It was,"
Teague reassured her. Nate growled. Maybe the guy wasn't so smart after all, if he was flirting with Chris right in front of him. His Six Doors Down role involved knocking a few guys around. He could punch Teague and write it off as character prep. The blonde cleared his throat and took a tiny step back.
"Anyway, you guys ready? I have a sport pilot license and have taken a half dozen friends on flights before, so I know what I'm doing. Don't worry."
"I'm sure you do."
Chris twisted her hair up into a bun.
"Conquering the seas and now the skies? Not bad."
"You know me. Always chasing the next thrill."
Teague glanced at the sleek white aircraft waiting for them.
"I'm going to fire Maverick up. You guys decide who wants to go first."
Chris arched an eyebrow.
"Seriously? You named your plane Maverick?"
"Top Gun," Nate and Teague said at the same time. She sighed.
"I'll never understand men and their obsession with naming their vehicles, land-based and otherwise."
"We have deep bonds with our cars," Nate informed her while Teague walked off to ready the aircraft. "Or planes, if you're a douche."
"Nate."
"Just saying."
Chris tilted her head and examined him.
"You don't have to do this, you know," she said. "Not if you don't want to."
He looked away, swallowing hard.
"Yeah, I do."
When Chris mentioned Teague had invited her on a private flight to show off his flying chops, Nate had invited himself along because he didn't trust that Tesla-driving, Chris-kissing. It had been on the cheek, but still. Fuck her as far as he could throw him. He soon realized it didn't matter if he was here because sport pilot rules stipulated the pilot could only bring one passenger at a time, which meant Nate would be waiting on the ground like a chump while Teague took his girlfriend on a romantic flight in the skies. That was bad enough. But then he'd gotten the bright idea that this would be a good time to get over his flying phobia, which had manifested itself, 5 years ago, right after his mom died in a plane crash. Imagine that. Nate wasn't completely debilitated by the thought of being in the air, but as he'd told Chris earlier this summer, he would rather not fly if he didn't have to. Why tempt fate?
"You sure?"
Chris didn't seem convinced. He ran a hand over his face, his heart thumping with nerves as the hum of the plane's engine filled the hangar. "Not at all. But if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it?" His features tightened. "I chewed out my dad for not facing up to my mom's death and drowning his sorrows in alcohol. My method of coping has been different. But it's been 5 years. And while I will always miss my mom, I need to let go of the hang-ups I have around how she died. That includes getting over my fear of flying. So no, I'm not sure this is what I want to do. In fact, I know I don't want to do it. But I need to." Now that he'd gotten all of that out, he could breathe easier, but a coil of tension remained at the base of his spine. Fuck, Why were plane engines so loud?
I understand.
Chris squeezed his hand.
I'll be here waiting for you when you land. Maybe you and Teague will become friends during your joyride in the sky,
she teased. Nate snorted. Yeah, I think the chances of me getting my own sport pilot license and private plane are higher. Teague popped open his door looking like the preppiest pilot on the planet with his aviation headset and polo shirt.
Ready when you are, he shouted over the engine noise. Who's first?
Chris glanced at Nate. I'll go first, he said, controlling the shake in his voice. Rip it off like a Band-Aid, right?
Exactly.
She kissed him, and he felt marginally better about marching toward his death.
You got this.
Nope. As Nate walked toward the plane, he most definitely did not have it. His palms were sweating like a motherfucker's, and his heart was about to climb its way out of his chest. But it was too late to turn back. He settled into the passenger seat and slipped on the headset Teague gave him. Get your shit together. You can do this.
You okay, man?
Teague cast a concerned glance in Nate's direction as he taxied onto the runway.
You look a little green.
I'm fine, Nate said in a clipped voice.
All right.
The other man sounded dubious, but he didn't push it. Despite what Nate said, his mild aerophobia had ratcheted up in intensity. Shortness of breath, check. Increased heart rate, check. Waves of nausea rolling in his stomach, check. Mental images of the plane crashing in a fiery ball, check. Fuck. Nate should have never gotten into this tiny death craft. What would happen to Skylar once he died? God knew their father couldn't take care of himself these days, much less his daughter. And Chris. He would never see Chris again. He should have kissed her harder, longer. He should have told her. The plane ascended, and there was a strong possibility he was going to throw up. Nate closed his eyes, trying to steady his breathing. The last and only time he'd been on a plane since his mother died had been 2 years ago when his family had flown to North Carolina for his cousin's wedding. If Nate hadn't been a groomsman, he would have skipped the whole thing. Fortunately, he'd taken an Ambien and knocked out for the entire flight. He didn't have that luxury now.
That view! Teague's voice came through the headset, staticky and irritating.
What?
Look at that view! The blonde repeated. You seen anything like that before?
Nate forced himself to crack his eyes open, because no way in hell would he admit his phobia to Teague. Thump, 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 thump. Yeah, his heart wasn't happy at all. But Teague was right about one thing. That was a hell of a view. From this vantage point, L.A. was a canvas of green interspersed with tiny boxes that on the ground were massive mansions and studio sets and theaters. Dark mountains loomed in the distance, their outlines sharp against the afternoon sky.
It's pretty cool, Nate managed. It was the truth. There was nothing like a bird's eye view to make even the biggest earthly concerns seem like small trivial matters. Here, it was just Nate and the sky and a scrap of metal kept afloat by an engine that could fail any minute.
I'm glad you and Chris are together, Teague said.
Is that so?
Nate's suspicion overrode his phobia for a brief second.
Yeah, she and I, we've been friends for a long time, but I've never seen her let anyone in. She doesn't date often, much less guys she's only known for a month or two.
Teague flicked a glance at Nate.
Except for you.
Nate's smile was equal parts warning and satisfaction.
What can I say? Guess I'm special.
Guess you are.
Teague maneuvered the plane to the right.
I know what you're thinking, but Chris and I aren't like that. We kissed once.
What?
Fuck crashing because of engine failure. Nate was about to toss the pilot out of the plane with his bare hands.
A long time ago, and we were sloshed. Teague added quickly. Confirmed what we both knew, which is that we're better off as friends, and can you please stop growling?
That was when Nate realized the low, threatening snarl reverberating through the cockpit was coming from his own throat. He simmered down, but continued glaring at the other man.
All I'm saying is I hope you can bring Chris out of her shell.
She hasn't had the easiest time with her mom gone and her dad not around much.
I can relate, Nate thought, his heart pinching at the thought of Chris experiencing the same dark emotions that kept him up late at night.
Our relationship is our business, he said gruffly. But Chris...
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best. She's worth it, though she doesn't always make it easy.
Teague laughed.
No, she doesn't. That sharp tongue of hers can slice a man in half.
Try in quarters. Another laugh, then sudden, absolute silence. As in, no engine humming.
What the?
Nate's head jerked around. He expected to see the earth hurtling toward him in the last moments of his life, but everything was still and quiet. Concrete, grass, Chris waving in the distance. Holy shit. He'd survived. Not only that, he'd been so caught up in his conversation with Teague that he hadn't noticed their descent. Relief fizzled through Nate's body in a rush, leaving him lightheaded and woozy. He took off his headset, mumbled his thanks to Teague, and clambered out of the plane. It took everything he had not to run to Chris, who watched him approach with a half-hopeful, half-wary expression.
How was it?
He responded by sweeping her up in his arms and kissing her senseless. God, holding her felt good. He'd been so sure he was going to die up there and never see her again.
I take it went well, Chris laughed when they broke apart. And Teague isn't sporting a black eye or any broken bones, so that's good.
It went okay. Nate tucked her protectively into his chest. I'm still not 100% comfortable with flying, but it's one of those things I have to ease back into, I guess.
It's a good first step.
Chris brushed her lips over his jaw.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks. He flashed a quick smile. Does that mean we can go now? No need for you to be alone with the Teague in that tiny aircraft. He's not that good of a pilot. He glared at the blonde who was waiting for Chris in the plane.
Nice try.
Nate's shoulders slumped. Had to give it a shot. Then he remembered what Teague said and straightened up, narrowing his eyes. Before you get on that plane, tell me when exactly did you two make out? And who's the better kisser, him or me?
Chris was still flying high, no pun intended, from her time with Nate and Teague, when she and Gloria left for their Roger-mandated bonding time the next day. Once she'd assured a grumpy Nate that he was a superior kisser to Teague, whom she'd have to kill for telling Nate about their ill-advised makeout session all those years ago, she'd had a blast. Teague was a fantastic pilot, and after they left the private airfield, they'd all gotten dinner at a restaurant that served some of the best seafood in the city. Teague had split after that, and Chris and Nate had gone back to her house where they'd had multiple rounds of mind-blowing sex. As usual, Chris's father had been holed up in his study and had missed Nate's coming and going. Gloria, on the other hand, had spotted him on his way out, and now she glared at Chris in the backseat of their Uber like Chris had stolen her favorite Hermes Birkin. Chris ignored the step monster and examined her nails. Might need to get a touch-up at the spa.
I'm surprised you and Nate have lasted this long. Gloria's drawl carried more bite than usual now that Roger wasn't around.
Why is that? Chris asked, bored. She and Gloria hadn't been able to agree on whose car to take for their oh-so-wonderful bonding sessions and had settled on a private Uber to take them to the spa. Not a regular Uber either, but an Uber XL, so they could sit as far from each other as possible. Usually these car rides were filled with nothing but the sound of the driver's music of choice and the clack, clack, clack of Gloria's talon-like nails as she e-shopped Nordstrom on her phone. But it appeared the step monster was in a chatty mood. Lucky Chris.
You've never been able to hold on to your man, Gloria clucked. So disappointing, darling. If you'd only come to me, I could give you a few tips.
Thanks, but I have no desire to learn how to dig for gold. I have my own. Chris let out a deliberate yawn.
Excuse me, but Nate kept me up all night and I didn't get a lot of sleep. Gloria's smile turned nasty. I'd just be careful your boyfriend doesn't go straying on you. That would be a tragedy. Her southern accent had all but disappeared. Chris knew the other woman played that shit up. According to the background check she'd run on Gloria when the step monster first started dating Roger, Gloria had been born in Georgia, but her family moved to Washington when she was 9. That whole Southern Belle thing was basically a fraud. Whatever. Chris had bigger fish to fry than the step monster's Dixie delusions. Gloria was acting so smug because she thought Nate was unsatisfied with his relationship and stepping out on Chris, per his now-canceled hotel engagement with the redhead. If you only knew. Chris was tempted to spill the truth about Nate's interest in Gloria, if only so she could knock that triumphant smirk off the woman's overly glossed lips. But that would be a huge tactical error. There'd been a brief period when she thought she and Gloria might get along, before she met the woman. But the moment they laid eyes on each other, it had been animosity at first sight, with Chris seeing right through the redhead's fake smile and fake boobs and fake, or at least overplayed accent, and Gloria looking Chris over like she was her competition in a Miss Georgia pageant, which was so inappropriate, considering Gloria was marrying Chris's freaking father. Then again, Gloria was only a few years older, and a few dozen IQ points slower than Chris. I'm not worried, Chris said coolly. You focus on your relationship, and I'll focus on mine. There's still a couple of months left until the wedding. A tight smile. Wouldn't want anything to go wrong before the big day. Oh, nothing's going to go wrong. Gloria fiddled with her engagement ring, on purpose, no doubt. Since we're dispensing advice, I'd caution you to be careful with your spending, darling. I've been talking to your father, and he's not happy. I'd hate for anything to happen to your trust fund. Chris was over this conversation. Gloria was getting desperate if she was trying to threaten Chris's trust fund, which was rock solid and would come into her possession in less than 2 years. Once I get my trust fund, I'll buy you a new perfume, Chris said, as the Uber rolled to a stop in front of their destination. Ode to desperation doesn't suit you. She thanked the driver, exited the car, and sauntered toward the spa without a backward glance. Chapter 17.
Chris, I need to speak with you.
Bobby's voice cut through the office bustle and interrupted Chris's distracted internet browsing for new updates about Sabrina Winters, an up-and-coming actress and the newest client on Bobby's roster. Chris stifled a sigh. She hated her job more and more every day. She would rather spend her time planning Mentor's summer gala, but here she was, reading about what Sabrina wore to a nightclub yesterday. The actress's style wasn't even that great. Her shoes were from last season, and her dress clashed with her skin tone. She needed to fire her stylist ASAP. Chris pushed back her chair and walked into Bobby's office.
Yes?
Her tone came off imperious instead of accommodating. Oh, well. Bobby examined Chris with sharp eyes. She was an attractive woman, with shiny blonde hair and cheekbones that would make a Slavic supermodel jealous. But the tension in her brow and hard set of her mouth made her appear decades older than her 34 years. Managing the public images and tempers of Hollywood's biggest, brightest, and brattiest, especially in the era of social media, wasn't easy. And it showed. Still, Bobby was the best in the business. And Chris admired her. She just didn't want to be her. She may be a public relations major, but there was no way in hell she'd go the Hollywood publicity route after she graduated.
Sabrina Winters has a photo shoot with Mode de Vie this weekend, Bobby said without preamble. For a story on rising stars in Hollywood, it's a huge deal.
That's great. Why was Bobby telling her this? Chris pulled press clips after shoots.
I want you to go with her.
Go where? Bobby shot her an impatient look.
To the photo shoot?
Chris was sure she'd heard wrong. Bobby accompanied her clients to press junkets and photo shoots and red carpet events. No one else. Ever.
You want me to go with Sabrina to Mode de Vie?
She spluttered. Not you?
Believe me, I'd be there if I could.
Bobby leaned back in her chair and played with her gold Mont Blanc pen.
But there's been a last-minute change in my schedule. I'm picking Riley Kay up from rehab. I don't trust anyone else to do it, and those bastards refused to hold her for an extra day. Last time her agent tried to get her, she gave him the slip and ended up in Tijuana, dancing topless in a bar. The strings I had to pull to keep that out of the press. Anyway, Mont de Vie can't move the shoot date either. They need all 12 of the rising stars there, and it's the only day that works for everyone. Hence, I need someone to go with Sabrina while I deal with Riley.
Why me? The last thing Chris wanted was to babysit an actress barely older than herself.
You're strong enough to deal with any outrageous demands, and you've been around celebrities before. You're even friends with some of them.
Bobby's glossy red mouth turned up into a smirk.
I'm more concerned for Sabrina than I am for you.
Thanks, Chris said, tone dry. She could imagine how this was going to go down with the rest of the assistants. They already hated her for landing the job through family connections. She didn't give a shit what they thought of her. But Chris had better things to do with her time than fend off passive-aggressive remarks from Bobby wannabes.
I'll email you the details, Bobby said crisply. This is an important shoot, Chris. I don't expect a crisis. The magazine knows what it's doing, and Sabrina is well-behaved. But it's critical you're there, on time and on point, in case anything does happen.
Don't worry. Chris tried to muster up a smidge of enthusiasm. I'll be there.
Chris, I need to speak with you.
Deja vu. Chris's father summoned her with the same words Bobby used earlier when she passed by his study that night. She'd just gotten home from Mentor, where they'd held a college application workshop for the older girls, and was looking forward to a nice long bubble bath and a glass of champagne. That would have to wait.
What is it, Daddy?
Chris stepped into her father's office. Roger liked to have a designated workspace in all his properties, even his ski chalet in Switzerland and holiday villa on the Amalfi Coast, because there was no such thing as a vacation for him. She'd seen him close a business deal while toasting a European prince's engagement on a yacht in St. Barts.
Is everything okay at work?
Her father rarely summoned her. The last time he'd done so had been when he cut her off over Christmas. Chris's skin prickled at the memory.
It's fine. Some issues with suppliers in Manila, but that'll be sorted soon enough.
Roger gestured at the chair across the desk from him.
Sit.
She obeyed, her stomach cramping with unease. Moonlight spilled through the large window behind her father and mingled with the soft glow from his sleek brass desk lamp. The silver streaks in his hair glinted in the dimness, and world-weariness settled deep in the lines and crags of his face. He steepled his fingers beneath his chin and surveyed his only daughter with an unreadable expression.
How's everything going with Gloria?
Fine.
His brows rushed down at her unenthusiastic response.
I hope you're putting in the effort to get along with her. It's important.
Why do I have to try to get along with her? Chris retorted in a rare slip of control. Why can't she try to get along with me? She's the intruder.
Gloria is trying, and we've been engaged for almost a year now. She says you spurn her attempts to get to know you better at every turn.
Right. And there's no chance she's lying. She was going to cheat on you. If you hadn't arrived when you did, she would have been rolling around in bed with my boyfriend, Chris wanted to yell. Fine, Nate hadn't been her real boyfriend at the time, and Chris had concocted the setup, but Gloria had fallen for it, hook, line, and sinker. If she truly loved Roger, she wouldn't have been tempted by another man, no matter how good-looking he was.
But Chris couldn't say that. She had no evidence. And her father would dismiss it as another sign that she was unjustly biased toward his bride-to-be.
Chris sucked in a deep breath and tried to think happy thoughts.
Sample sale. Limited edition. Chanel.
You forget I'm your father, Roger said dryly. I know how defensive and guarded you can be. I'm not blaming you after what your mother did.
A shadow crossed his face the way it always did when he spoke of the woman who'd abandoned him and her then 2-year-old daughter.
But you need a maternal figure in your life. Gloria can be that for you.
Fury and disbelief seized Chris's throat. Her father couldn't be serious. He thought Gloria, who was only 6 years older than Chris and was as cuddly as a den of vipers, could be a maternal figure? She's 27, Chris said, striving for a calm, even tone. It didn't work. She's only a few years older than me, and I'm well past the age where I need a maternal figure. She placed the last two words in air quotes. She'd needed a mother when she'd gotten her period for the first time. She'd needed a mother when her father went away on weeks-long business trips, leaving Chris in a mansion with servants who treated her like a china doll instead of a human being. She'd needed a mother to talk to about boys and makeup, and the devastation she'd felt when she found out her middle school best friend had only been friends with her for the free holiday trips and extravagant gifts. Roger, while inattentive, had never shied away from showering his daughter and her friends with monetary affection. But Chris hadn't had a mother to hold her hand through childhood or guide her through her teen years. She'd figured shit out on her own when it became clear no one would be there to do it for her. And she'd turned out fine. She sure as hell didn't need a mother now, at the ripe old age of 21. Her father shot her a warning look.
Gloria may be on the younger side, but she's been through a lot. She can help guide you.
Through what? Pilfering your bank account? I thought you were a savvy businessman. Chris's eyes flashed. How can you be so blind to what's right in front of you? Gloria is a gold digger.
Roger's expression darkened. Watch your tone, he growled. Don't forget whose roof you're living under, and whose money paid for your car, your clothes, and your vacations. I've been lenient with you all these years, and I will not let you speak to me that way in my own house. Gloria's going to be your stepmother, and that's final. I suggest you come to terms with it. It will make life easier for you and everyone else in the household.
Chris's throat and nose burned with unshed tears. That's what this is about, isn't it? You just want to make things easier for yourself. You never stop to consider that maybe I need a father more than I need some woman masquerading as my mother. But why should you? You're never around anyway. She stood, so angry her body trembled. Marry Gloria if you want, but you can't make me like her. It's never going to happen. She fled from the library before the tears could spill over. When she arrived at her room, she locked the door behind her and took huge, gasping breaths. It wasn't until her breathing evened and her mind cleared that she realized what a big mistake she'd made. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Losing her cool like that in front of her father was a dumb move, but the words had spilled out like water through a broken dam. Trying to hold them back would have been futile. She pressed her knuckles to her eyes.
Sample sale, limited edition, Chanel.